Samuel was a little guy hearing from God, and we talked about, should we expect that anymore in our lives, that God might speak to us personally? I tried to encourage us to answer that question as a yes. Actually, we can expect that God might speak to us personally. Tonight we'll be looking at, what does that mean? What does it mean to hear from God, that God might be speaking to us, and how might God do that? So, let me open my Bible to 1 Samuel. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Again, it's about the guy Samuel. So Samuel's a prophet of Israel, and he's a bit older now. And the Lord God said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you, a cow, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him, and he had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So we have here Samuel, much older, but can you see how God speaks to Samuel? He says to Samuel, I want you to go down to this town. I want you to meet this family. As I want you to pick a king, the next king. And then as all the lads in this family pass in front of him, God says, no, not that one. I look at the heart, just not the outward appearance. No, 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 no. There must be one more. There's a lot of God talking to Samuel in the midst of a family and the midst of making choices. It seems to me that Samuel really hears from God. Would you make that conclusion as you hear that story? Samuel hears from God somehow. Specific things as well, not just general things. Like Samuel, I read in the Bible, you need to go pick a king that loves God. That's a general principle. Now, God's quite specific. I've got one person in mind. You're going to find that one person. And off Samuel goes, and he finds it by being directed, by being guided, by God speaking to him. The question I have is, can you expect that God might be involved in your life like this? Can you, as a normal non-prophet of Israel, expect that God might speak to you in this kind of way. For us Baptists, we would really say very clearly, God speaks through the Bible. And in fact, lots of people find it much more comfortable to say God speaks only through the Bible. That the way that we figure out what God wants from us is we read God's word. Now, there's no question that that's not a wrong answer. God does speak through the Bible, and there are lots of things that if you just did, it's called obedience. If you just did in obedience, you would know for sure you're doing what God wants. No question. But is that what Samuel experienced? Is that what Samuel experienced? So what I would say is Samuel certainly experienced nothing less than doing what was in the Bible, but it seems to me that he experienced something more, something far more personal, something far more involved. That's what he experienced. And what we talked about last time is what we see as normal in the lives of the people in the Bible, such as Samuel, such as David, such as Paul, I think we can expect of our experience in God today. I think what Jesus brings us into, that his spirit is now in us, is a really big difference. And that every single one of us has the very presence of God in us, nudging us, urging us, speaking to us to follow in his way. If you look through the Bible, you'll find around about 6 different ways that God speaks to people. Sometimes he uses this sign or a miraculous phenomena, and then there might be a voice. Sometimes he sends an angel or a supernatural messenger. Sometimes people have dreams and visions. Sometimes they have an audible voice. Sometimes there's a human voice. In other words, God uses other people. He speaks through other people. Or sometimes he uses the voice that we have inside our spirit or inside our minds, our inner thoughts. Sometimes he uses that. What you can see if you look at the Bible quite carefully is the more spectacular ways that God speaks to people, it's because mostly those people are very deaf. They're hard of hearing. So Moses is off in the desert, and it takes a burning bush to get Moses' attention. He's like walking through, oh, whoa, there's a bush burning that is not consumed. It takes a burning bush to get Moses' attention. If you look at it, it's often the hard-hearted or the spiritually deaf people that need really big miracles for them to hear from God. But that's still no guarantee. So do you remember a guy called Pharaoh? Oh my goodness. Did God not use some massive signs to talk to him? Massive signs. The river Nile being turned into blood, the frogs, the various plagues, eventually the death of boys. Massive signs to talk to him. And it says that Pharaoh was quite deaf. So even with really big supernatural events, there is no guarantee you might hear actually what God's talking about. The more mature people are in their Christian faith, or in their faith, sorry, in God, the more likely that God speaks quietly. Quietly. Much more like you'd imagine has happened with Samuel. So is it, in this story that we just heard, do you imagine that God's audible voice? No, it's probably, most likely, that within Samuel's own spirit, God is speaking to him, saying, this is what I want you to hear. And because Samuel is mature in faith, he doesn't need mighty miracles for him to pay attention. He just needs this inner voice. And in fact, if you look in the Bible, it seems that God's preferred way of talking to people is quietly. He doesn't barge in. He speaks to us quietly. Paul hints at the kind of way that God talks to us in Romans chapter 8, where he says, that because we have the Spirit of God in us, that God's Spirit speaks to our spirit. Do you remember what God's Spirit says to our spirit? Abba, Father. So that there's an inside connection between us and God that tells us we're children of God. We belong to Him. The God's Spirit speaks to our spirit. And it seems if you look through the Bible, God mostly speaks to people in quiet ways, not in really miraculous, shake the earth, burn a bush, not or don't burn a bush ways, quiet ways. And if God has to do that for you, it's probably a sign of your deafness, not your specialness. You're probably pretty thick, and He's had to send a few amazing, miraculous angels to elbow you into listening. So if God mostly speaks to us inside us with this inner voice speaking to our spirit, how can you learn to hear what God is saying? And I think that it relates a lot to similar to the way that we learn to hear the people we love in a crowd, in our human relationships. When, for the parents in the room, we know this. When our babies are crying, when they were crying, because I don't have any crying babies anymore, but when they were crying, could you not pick that cry out of the crowd? Weird, isn't it? Not a little baby, not saying any words, but something about the tone and the timbre and the sound of that little cry, your ears are in tune with that and you can pick it out of a crowd. We get used to the sound of people's voice. There's something about the words they say that even if their voices sound the same, you can pick it's a different person. So my brother, if you listen to my brother and if you listen to me over a telephone, my mother cannot tell the difference in our voices. They sound very similar, except for I use different words to my brother. She knows the words I use, and she knows the words he uses, and she listens for a little bit and goes, oh, it's Jason. Because she knows my personality. She knows the kind of things I talk about. And that's the third thing that we pick out when we listen to people, is we pick out the kind of content they talk about. And it's not just when they're talking to us, it's when they're writing as well. We don't really get many letters nowadays. But when I was dating my girlfriend who lived in West Wyalong, I wrote a letter every week. And she wrote me a letter every week. And as I read her words, I felt like I could hear her voice. You get that feeling when you read something that somebody's written that you know well? That the way they talk, what they talk about, that's them. And I think there is a strong similarity to learning to recognize God's voice within us. Dallas Willard, he says there are three things that we can listen for when we learning to hear God's voice. The first one he calls wait. We have lots of thoughts in our mind. Lots of them. Well, I do anyway. Do you have lots of thoughts in your mind? I remember a mate of mine, he had this knack of just staring at you. You know, you're like in a conversation and he'd just be... And like, because I talk a lot, so I'd say, no, you know, how you going? No, just... So one day I said to him, what are you thinking when you're staring at me? And he'd say, nothing. And I'd go, oh, unbelievable. I actually cannot think of nothing. It just seems to be a physical impossibility for me. But most of us have thoughts. How do you pick the thoughts that you have out from the thoughts that God could be speaking into? And Dallas Willard says the first one is wait. There's an authority in the thought. When Jesus taught from the Bible, when he taught people the scriptures and he taught the things that we read in the Bible, it says this in Matthew 7. When Jesus spoke, his words had a weight of authority. for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. There was something about Jesus' words that made people go, this needs to be paid attention to. It's got weight. It's got authority. And that's one way that you can pick the difference between your wild, crazy, arguing thoughts with yourself and maybe what God is saying to you is it says, this needs to be done. This is what I want from you. I've had many times in my life when I've had that kind of thought, that this is what must be done. I could pick any example, but I had a relationship breakdown with somebody and I was waiting for them to say sorry. They were waiting for me to say sorry. Ever been one of those circumstances? So the end result is nobody says sorry. And then the end result is the relationship's not fixed. So we went for about a year like this. They're going to say sorry. Just waiting for them to say sorry. They're going to say sorry. And in prayer, I wasn't even thinking about this circumstance, but I'm praying in my own time with God, talking to God about whatever I was talking about. And this impression came to me, stop wasting time, go say sorry. Do it. I wasn't asking for that thought. Remember, I wanted them to say sorry to me. I wasn't asking for that thought. The thought just kind of popped into my prayer life. Stop wasting time. Go say sorry. Do it. Okay. So I called them. We organized a time to meet. I said sorry. The relationship is reconnected again. They have never ever said sorry. But we're reconciled. And maybe at the end of the day, I'm the only one who needed to say sorry. But there was no doubting in my mind. God was sick of my procrastination and I needed to get on with reconciliation, stop wasting time, go say sorry. Do it. There's a weight that comes with God's words. The second thing that we can hear when God speaks is the spirit of it. When God speaks to us, he is not an accuser. That is not God's language. God is not wanting to point the finger and probe you exactly where it hurts. There are lots of reasons why I can say this. Mostly because I know that that's the nature of God. But God doesn't bully us. He doesn't accuse us. He doesn't bring condemnation into our lives. Who talks like that? In the Bible, who talks like that? The devil talks like that. And sometimes I'll also say, you talk like that. Is that not true? That your thoughts accuse you? That's not God. That's not the way God talks to us in our spirit. The way he talks to us is he talks to us with calmness, with peace, with confidence. That's the way that God talks to us. Even when he's dealing with the ugly stuff in our lives. Actually, God has a lot of patience and a lot of grace and kindness. How many things are wrong in your life today? Got a short list? Right, so you just pick the top one. How long has that been a problem in your life? Some of us, it's been a problem for a fair amount of time. And has God struck you dead yet? No. He sent his son Jesus to die for you, to set you free from that. And he is super patient with you. So when you hear God speaking in your spirit, you should expect it comes with calmness, peace, joy, belief in you, hope. God's no bully. And when God speaks, it won't be accusing. And the last thing Willard names is the content. What kinds of things might God be saying to you? How do you figure out what is right and what is wrong? What's in line with what God is on about? This is where the Bible really matters, I think. Is the Bible teaches us God's priorities and what God is on about, His will. And when we hear from God, we can go, does it come with authority? Does it come with the right spirit? And is it in line with what we know God would, the kinds of things God would ask of us? And to get to know what that is like, well, I think you need to know the Bible. A guy called Charles Stanley said this, God's voice will never tell us to engage in any activity or relationship that is inconsistent with the Holy Scriptures. Just not going to do it. Now, not just the specifics. If it says it once in the Bible, then you read it once. If it says it twice in the Bible, you read it twice. If it says it a lot of times, read it many times. So you get the point of it. So there are some things that are said once in the Bible, specifically, that I think you'd be quite careful to apply. For instance, there's a rich young guy who wants to follow Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Sell everything you have and follow me. Right? That's what he says to him. So who else does Jesus say that to? How many other people does Jesus say, who the people who want to follow him, you need to sell everything you have? Do you know? Well, is the one. So I would be quite careful in saying, well, that means that Jesus is telling me to sell everything I have to follow him. He may be. But just because it says it once doesn't mean it says it to me. But if, for instance, I thought the Bible is telling me that everything I have belongs to him, that would be consistent with the whole Bible, that everything I have belongs to him. This rich young guy had a problem with his money and what he owned. Well, actually, I don't own any of it. My time, my talent, my treasures, it's actually not mine. I'm a steward to use all the things that I have for the glory of God and for the good of others. That is true. So, see how the difference is? Specifically, I'm not being told to maybe sell everything I have, but more generally, the Bible does say to us, everything you have belongs to God, so hold it really lightly, which is why Jesus nailed that point with that young man. So, if you want to hear from God, you must know what God's on about. What is his will? How does he work? Now, how do you get to know that? By reading the Bible, actually. That's how you get to know that. As you read the Bible, it teaches you God's will and his ways. Shows you the way that God works. It's central to how God speaks to us. When you read the Bible, it teaches you what God's voice sounds like. It teaches you what God will probably talk to you about. When you read the Bible. So here's a little problem, all right? If you really want to hear God, last time I said, if you really want to hear God, you need to want to love God first. Not want guidance for some big choice you're making. You need to want to love God first. You need to want to love God. To hear from God and have conversation with God and be in relationship with God. Because if you don't love that, you won't hear from God. You just won't. You'll be deaf and maybe God won't bother talking. I'm not sure. That's on God's side to decide. But you won't hear because your ears will be deaf to listening to what God wants to say to you. This week I'm saying, if you want to hear from God in here, you'll need to know his word. Because the things that he'll talk to you about not only are in line with that word, but it will teach you the kind of voice you need to hear. When I read the Bible, I've got kind of two ways of reading. One way of reading is I read the Bible. Try to understand it. It's Jason working on the Bible. But there's this other way of reading the Bible. And it's when the Bible reads me. It's when God's word works on me. Do you know what that's like? So many people who are Christians for a long time know a lot about working on the Bible, reading the Bible, trying to understand the Bible. I suspect not so many Christians know what it's like for the Bible to work on me. And it should. Hebrews 4:12. Do you remember what that one says? The word of God is living and active. It divides and penetrates between the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It digs down deep. So when I'm reading the Bible, that's one way of reading, but when the Bible's reading me, it's a very different thing. It goes like this. I might be reading a Bible passage and thinking about what it's saying. And then what I notice is it challenges something in my life. So this morning, I get up early on Sunday mornings and I'm reading the Bible. I'm actually preparing for tonight. So I'm reading the Bible to get ready for tonight. And as I'm reading the Bible, I am challenged by the way that I had been using my words during the week. Whether I had used my words to build people up or to tear them down. I think I tore them down. That's probably a bit harsh. But certainly, whether I used it to build up. And what I felt I was became more convicted of is that I could use my words to encourage more, to be more generous, to be more kind. And that came out of I was looking at the Bible and I felt like that the Bible was challenging my heart, my words, my behavior. You know, that experience, that as you're reading it, challenges you, that you feel like God is actually speaking straight to you. When you know the Word of God like that, the Bible like that, then you are learning to hear what God is saying. You're learning to hear. Because if you want to hear God more, read the Bible more. I actually recognize that this is challenging. Because I feel like we really want to hear God. There are so many choices in life that we would love to have a confidence that God was speaking into. So many times that we would love to know that God is not distant and far off, but he's close to us. And yet, we want that experience without the discipline of reading God's word. You are not getting to that destination by behaving in this way. If you really want to hear God more, then you need to read his word more. Get to know it more. When, for me, I'm speaking to people, normal conversation, as I'm talking to people, there are numbers of times that I get this powerful sense that God's chatting to me in the background about that person's life. Really strange, powerful sense. And often it prompts me to ask unlikely questions. Questions you wouldn't normally ask in a polite conversation. I just get this sense, ask that question. Okay, I'll ask that question. And when I ask these really surprising, unlikely questions, I find myself in new territory, that something opens up. This morning it happened. I met this guy who'd come to our church the first time out here on the steps. And I was doing the polite chit-chat thing. Hi, what's your name? What's my name? Yeah, it's my name. Have you ever been here before? Do you go to church normally? Blah. Right, I was doing all that polite stuff. And then I had this little thought drop in on my head. Ask this question. And so I said to him, so what are you looking for in life? Why are you here today? Would you ask that question when you've just met a person for the first time ever? It was just like dropped in, okay, I'm going to ask that question. And it opened up a whole wealth of conversation that I felt like I went from meeting a stranger to meeting a brother in minutes. When I'm sitting in pastoral counseling, I'm listening to people and they're talking about what's going on in their life. And as I'm talking, I'm very visual. The way that I think anyway is quite visual. I'll see pictures of things. You know, I might see there's a real hurt here. There's this relationship that needs to be done. I'll just see these things as I'm talking to people. And I don't often say to them, oh, you know, God's told me that there's a hurt here and there's a relationship that needs to be reconciled. And I don't say that. But what it does is it guides my conversation. I'm listening quite carefully. Do you know these things? This, you could say, Jason, you are a nutcase and you need medication. But does that not sound like Samuel? And if you read Christian history, you'll see what I've just described to you is within range of normal. And then if you even asked around this room, you would find that what I've just said to you is not as uncommon as you think. That there is a promise that God can be present to us, speaking in our spirits, guiding us, leading us, encouraging us. You know what I want to do now? Is I want to get you to practice it. So, really simple, really low risk. All right? But the way I'm going to do it is I'm just going to pray. And then what I'm going to encourage you to do is if you have, I want you to ask God that you might get, that God might give you a thought or an idea that will encourage the person next to you. All right? Now, how wrong can you go? If it's your crazy idea, you still encourage the person next to you, right? But what if it's God talking? What do you reckon? You up for it? You don't have to do it. This is an opt-in exercise. But let's see what happens. Let's pray. Our God, thank you that